All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me on this episode, I have the insatiable Johnny Crash. Johnny, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. So, first question out of the chute. How did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Big Bubba from Primo's, he was the first professional wrestler I ever met. And literally, I was out with my buddies on a Saturday night. I was 16 years old going bowling, and I was wearing a WCW Nitro shirt. And he was like, "Hey, do you want to go to this show? We're running a show at the Sheridan Rec Center," and gave me tickets and went to this show, loved the show, and then ended up finding out they had a wrestling school, and ended up probably about 2 months after that, convinced my parents to let me train early.
Wow, that's crazy. Let's talk about that in just a moment. But before that, did you grow up watching it on TV and everything?
So, like, initially, like, the early 90s, like, yeah, I did enjoy it here and there. Like, I had some older cousins that were really super into it. And they're kind of on the bully side of things. So I kind of shied away from it. But it was really the Attitude Era that really drew me in.
Oh, okay. So you were kind of introduced into it as a kid, but you didn't really get, like you said, didn't get hooked into it, and you just kind of revisited it, I guess it would be the best way, on your own Attitude Era time frame.
Yeah, my dad used to watch WCW. That was his favorite, and it was a lot of the cruiserweights, and Chris Jericho most definitely was like probably my biggest influence. Yeah. Pretty much him and Eddie Guerrero were like the guys that like pretty much made me want to do this. Like those were the dudes. Like, they're definitely my favorite. So I would have to say Nitro was like a huge influence on me.
Oh, cool. Awesome. That's great to know. So let's talk about, that fate introduction to Big Bubba. You're out and about, like you said, at a bowling, got tickets to a Primo show. Did you say
it was? They don't run it anymore, but they were called RMCW.
Okay,
Rocky Mountain Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of guys came out of there. The provider, or he didn't start there, but he made it pretty big out of there. Lonnie Valdez worked over there. Rob Rison came out of there. Joey Kincaid, Caleb Crush, a bunch of us got our teeth kind of sunk into the business with that company.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so a lot of the veterans that we see here and there at all the different promotions that we have in the area now. So, yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So how was that event that you attended? Was that your first independent wrestling show that you attended?
Yeah, that was definitely my first taste of independent wrestling. Like I've been to WWF and WCW before, and that was like the first time seeing everything, especially super up close. Like my mind was just blown. Like looking back on it now, it probably wouldn't be the best show, but to me it was like I felt like I was at like WrestleMania. Like I was just amazed with everything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I still remember my first independent wrestling show as well, and it sticks with you, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever, I guess maybe I should just go ahead and mention that, but I think I may mention it here and there on the podcast, but just to reemphasize, since we are talking about it, it was New Era Pro Wrestling up in Golden when they were still at the Buffalo Rose. And
Yes.
I had a mutual friend that attended that, and so I remember seeing people like Hunter Gray for the first time and thinking,
Oh
what the heck is this guy,
my God.
and people like that, and Johnny Proof, and who else was in on that show? I think Danger Dean was on that show too. So yeah, so a lot of our stalwarts. A lot of the old timers that would recognize a lot of these names that we're mentioning here in
Oh
the
man, they have so much great talent, especially in the scene right now. Especially came through New Era as well.
Right. Yeah, awesome. All right, so then what transpired to get you to thinking and going that I'm gonna get in the ring, I'm gonna do this.
So I remember the exact moment I was watching an episode of Raw, and it was when Jericho won the title for the first time, and they did the whole switcheroo thing, and he ended up like losing it like after the commercial break. But I just remember being so emotionally involved in that match, and I was just kind of sitting there. I was like, "Yeah, I want to do this." Like, I couldn't think of myself doing anything else. Like, at that moment, I was like, "Yeah, I want to be a wrestler."
All right, well that's cool. And so then how did that start out? Where did you train? Who trained you and all that good fun stuff.
So a little, probably that was, I want to say that was July of 2000. And then September, it was September or October, I don't remember the exact date, I seen the RMCW show for the first time. I got introduced to everybody. And then it was that November, I started training with Rocky Mountain Pro, or not Rocky Mountain Pro, excuse me, RMCW. And my original trainer was Robert Amador. He wrestled as a Super Destroyer and Latin Thunder in this local scene. He was my original trainer initially, and then probably about 6 to 8 months into my training, Lonnie Valdez started working with us, and he just came from Dory Funk School. So he pretty much took over my training from there. Like, yeah, Robert Amador did a lot of stuff, but I pretty much say Lonnie Valdez was my trainer.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And so you've been in this the wrestling game for going on about 20 years now, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was 15, 16 when I started, and it's crazy. Like, this is the best this local scene has been ever. Like,
Right.
every promotion's killing it. It's like flavors of ice cream. Like, it's just awesome to be a wrestler right now in this scene.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you something, and I don't know if you may have an opinion or thoughts, but so you started really, really young, and we have another talent in the scene that is real young and probably is not going to be with us very long because he is that talented, and that's Logan Austin. What do you think about him, and kind of the difference in where he's starting at. How in the scene, like you said, versus where you started at.
He's an amazing talent and a really, really good guy. Like, everything he does, like, he's literally one of my favorites to watch. Like, every time I on a show with him, those are the matches I like to like try to peek out and watch. Like, he has tremendous talent. He's definitely gonna go places. Like,
Yeah.
I can't say nothing bad about the guy. Like, amazing person.
Right, yeah, and like I said, I mean, would you agree? I don't think he's gonna be with us very long. He's gonna be noticed nationally, if not internationally.
Oh, most definitely. Like, I definitely see Mexico, Japan, stuff that NXT and AEW, all that stuff. And there's so many options right now. NWA Power and Ring of Honor's kind of getting back on their feet again. And yeah, I think he has a lot of open doors for him.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so what do you, since you're, like I said, a veteran of 20 years, and what are the most surprising or like maybe most prideful things that growth that you've seen in the wrestling community, wrestling industry here in the Colorado and surrounding areas from the time you started to where we are now?
Biggest thing is like show quality has went up so much, like especially all the people we have coming through and guys that are starting out now, like man, definitely show quality has gotten a whole lot better. Like every show I'm on or been to, like I said, everyone's just killing it. Yeah. This, especially this new generation, like we're gonna see a lot of these guys on TV, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, that's great. So let's switch back and talk a little bit more about you. So from the time you started your training to your first match, how much time elapsed there?
So I was almost a year in, and it was kind of funny because we had a show coming up at my high school I went to at the time, and Lonnie was in the middle of a feud with this guy named Cage, who no longer works, and he just thought it'd be a cool idea to kind of give me a little shine and insert me into the show. So I ended up being a wrestling Cage, and he inserted himself a special guest referee, and I got my first win on that show. Lonnie ended up helping me win and stuff, and yeah, it was kind of like a minor part of a feud, but it was cool to get my start, especially in my hometown and in my high school. Like it was just awesome.
Yeah. Any nervousness going into that first match, or just kind of
Oh,
anticipation, or
I was a nervous wreck. Like I found out like a week prior
yeah.
that I was gonna be in that match. It was just like I lost so much sleep, and I was just afraid the worst was gonna happen. But you go out of that curtain, you just become a totally different person, and it's just like it felt like smooth sailing from there.
Right, yeah. And it sounded like it was a very good easy way to get that first work in front of an audience in. Is that the case?
Oh yeah, it was
Yeah.
like I'm very thankful for that, like
Yeah.
especially for Lonnie for putting me over the way he did like that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely another veteran of the industry that I have had on the podcast in the past. So if you guys want to check the back catalog, plug, he's up there. So
Awesome.
anyways, so far in your career though, have you had some memorable moments that just stick to you that you just go through your think to yourself, God, I can't believe I got to do that, or I can't believe I got to experience that.
One of my biggest, and I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but was Lucha Libre and Last back in 2015. I won my first major singles title, and I was in a six way match, and little did I know I was going over when they kind of put the whole thing together. They kind of kayfabed like, "Oh, Lonnie's going to go over in this match, and you're going to take the pinfall," and just kind of told me what was going on. But literally, they're planning on putting me over, and I had no idea. So we go through the match, and we're going to the finish, and I just hit I hit a TKO on Lonnie, and I go for a big splash, and I'm waiting for him to kick out at two, and it goes to three, and I freak out. And I'm like, oh man, I just screwed up this show. Like,
Oh
I'm fired from this company. I'm never gonna work here again. And then Gossard slides to the ring and it's like, congratulations, champ. So like it was like one of the most real moments. Like everybody was like, oh, like, you look so shocked, like your acting was subpar right there. Like I was like, no, that was legit. Like, had no idea I was going over.
And in hindsight, that what I know of Nick Gossert as well. I mean, hindsight, looking at it back at it now, are you surprised? Because that's just kind of the way he is.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I probably shouldn't have been so surprised. It just caught me so off guard at the moment. But
That's
yeah,
right, yeah.
that was definitely one of my favorite moments. I remember I talked to we had Marty DeRosa and Colt Cabana, like I think it was like a month or two later, and they were like marking out for it. So that was pretty cool. Like other people heard about this story in the wrestling world, like outside of our bubble. So it
Yeah.
will always be one of my favorite moments for sure.
Let me talk to you about Lucha Libre and Laughs a little bit, since I know that you've worked several matches for them. That's such a different environment than the than you know maybe the any of the other shows, because of the comedic nature of the show, as well as the live commentating. How much of that do you hear, the live commentating, and when you're in your match, or are you just basically mainly focused about what's happening in the ring?
We heard a lot of this stuff. One of the biggest things was try not to laugh while we're out there because those guys are so hilarious. Like just trying to, especially if you're trying to heal it up and like, oh man, like I can't crack a smile right now. Like this is just too funny.
Yeah, do you think they're
But
trying to break you?
I think kind of like it's such a fun show to be a part of, and yeah, everything we get a lot of freedoms over there, and it's just kind of cool to really express yourself that way, and just the mix of the comedy and everything, like such a cool thing. Like I definitely see Lucha Libre and Laughs doing some big things in the future,
Yeah,
definitely.
yeah. And if I could be so bold, one of my favorite matches, I memorable matches from Lucha Libre and Laughs was I think it was you teaming up with part of the Colt Awaits You against, I believe, the Alligato and the Gorillas. I think
Oh my,
that was
yeah,
a fun match.
that was totally fun. We even did a little, Nine News even covered us talking and kind of our entrance at that show. That was pretty cool. We were gonna do this whole like Vatos Locos gimmick, but some of the other guys that were in the thing it didn't really pan out, but it was such a fun match. And Hoodlum's another guy that I really respect in the scene, like. And just getting to work with him and Anaya, they're awesome talents. Alligato too, like definitely some of my favorite people to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. Yeah, definitely. Plug those people out a little bit. Of course, Hoodlum is, he keeps on teasing retirement, but you never know.
Yeah.
And then Anaya, where he's at, and of course, Allie, probably the standard for women's wrestling in Colorado right now.
Totally. She's definitely the best. Like I consider her probably one of the best females in this whole territory.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so what other in your career so far, what other promotions have you worked for, and any kind of things that kind of stand out or just kind of make you that are unique for those particular promotions?
I mean, like I've worked primarily down here. I've done some stuff in a lot of the road trips going to Utah and Nebraska and all that stuff. Yes, like I just love everything, man. It's kind of hard to.
Yeah. And you get out to pretty much every single promotion. You're one of the people that, like I said, get out to pretty much everything and is in almost every single thing. Even I think have you even got into maybe even some one of Lucha shows as well sometimes?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of the local Lucha promotions. I worked every one of them. I just debuted, what was it, last month? Last month in IWC. Not I've been wanting to wrestle there for a little while now, so that was pretty cool to be part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and then yeah, speaking of that, which is I think is a great segue, you are being managed, I believe, in IWC by Games Master, and I believe Games Master is there with you. Hello, Games Master, how you doing?
Good evening, I am here. And I will say this much, that of all the monsters that I manage here in Colorado, this one right here, Johnny Crash, he is probably the most, shall we say, destructive one that I have in my arsenal.
Ah, so we're gonna see some
And he's
big
also the
things.
most entertaining as well, so that really helps out too.
Yeah. So you're gonna bring some big things there for Johnny in the future.
Oh, we hope to get some more titles around his shoulder, and leave a trail of destruction a half a mile wide and 30,000 miles long.
That's great. All right. Well,
It
yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
was just kind of a random thing. Like we've worked shows forever, and we're always on the opposite end of things, and we're just like, hey, why not work together? And it's been successful so far.
Yeah, well, he's always on the lookout for his next monster.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I think I found one.
I think that was what we talked about when you and I talked on the
Yeah.
podcast a few episodes ago.
Yeah, Johnny, somehow we just thought, we've always been working on the opposite ends of the ring. What would it be like to work on the same side? And it went from being, I guess you would say, an experiment to a full-blown catalyst to propel him to the top of his game.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that. I can see that. I'd like it. I enjoy that. That's fantastic. And then Johnny, speaking of a lot of another thing too, working with together, you have been a part of as far as when I've known you, quite a few different factions, and I would imagine each one of them is very, very special. From like I mentioned before, the Cult Awaits You to the
Yeah.
Party Pirate Punks, and now the UWO. How's that been working in like all these different factions?
Like what's been so special about it is like all these people I got to work with like are, close friends like outside of the ring, and it just worked together. Like especially the Party Pirate Punks, like Polly B and myself and Captain Stevens, like traveling to multiple shows together, like hanging out. It just works so well. Like honestly, I don't think they expected it to go over as I don't I, we didn't expect to go over as we did. Like we were just having fun, just being ourselves. And
Right, yeah.
the whole UWO thing is just it's awesome. Like Eric Angels, but he's one of my favorite people in the scene, and he's been kind of like I guess I could call like a wrestling Yoda. Like
Oh,
he's
yeah.
always like whenever I need any kind of advice about my work, like he's always been straight up. If it sucks, if I did this awesome, like he's always been there for advice. So getting to be a part of that with him and Animal Sam's and another good friend I've known for years, and just to work with these guys is just this is awesome.
Yeah, and and speaking of that, like you said, Animal Sam and Eric Angel, both great minds. And how is it to even at this time in your career that you even get things that you're learning still, and with like I said, these great minds, especially now you're working very closely with those two in the UWO. How's that feel? I mean, even learning more.
It feels awesome, and like I kind of always, especially with wrestling, like I figure you never stop learning. Like there's so much to learn, and like you gotta learn something new every show.
Right. And well, I would even say from show to show to even put together a great storyline, and what you're gonna tell to the audience and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and like even like. It was this whole UWO thing now. Like I've primarily been a face most of my career, so getting to heal it up now is like a whole new world to me. Like, I'm still trying to get the hang of it, but I'm having so much fun doing it right now.
And you're so good at it too.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah. And so, you know, breaking the fourth wall a little bit, you are, you know, in other promotions, you're, still a face, and everything like that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's it feel being able to really flex your, character muscles, from promotion to promotion?
It feels really good to change it up. The only thing, like, especially going the hillside was, in particular, was the first night I turned on Captain Stevens, and I laid him out with a chair, and I look over to see two little girls crying. I'm just like, oh, all right, this kind of sucks, but yay for getting over in that way.
That's true. Yeah, it was definitely definitely a shocking moment. I would say personally for me as well, just because I'm not used to seeing you like you said that way. So yeah, that's great. Well, what about you know, let's talk about maybe the little bit of the future. I know you've had a you know, a pretty lengthy career, but do you still have any desires of people you'd like to get into the ring with, or you know, anywhere, anytime, anyhow?
There's lots of guys. Like, Chongo's definitely on that list of guys. Like, we've got to kind of tangle up here and there, tag matches and whatnot. He's the guy I want to work with. Hunter Gray's another guy. We've done a couple matches here and there. That's another guy I want to work with. Like, I just want to try to kind of branch myself out a little bit more and kind of work with some new people I haven't worked with before. Like, but those two are definitely on top of my list.
Oh, that would be fun. That'd be great. Yeah, I know I've seen you and Hunter mix it up. I think at a Ratio Beerworks show. That was a fun match, because he called you a mountain of a man. He called you a mountain. So yeah, that was fun. That was great. Okay, well, let's you know, talk about one thing that has come up in the recent in the Colorado area, and like to get your thoughts about this. It's maybe a tough topic to talk about, but the time of the recording, something happened at the latest Rocky Mountain Pro show as well. But the fan that is disrespectful and not necessarily the understanding of the business, and that even though, yes, these guys are performers in the ring and they're performing a character, there is a person behind the character. And
yeah,
there are comments that you can say that can be, like I said, disrespectful and just basically not nice and all that kind of stuff like that. And you've recently been a, I guess the easiest way to explain it is a target of such comments. What are your thoughts? And if you want to expand on the exact atomic comment, I'll let the listeners know.
So it was like, you know, coming back from having, I felt, you know, I had, you know, especially the crowd reaction wise, like coming back from having an awesome match with XJ Chaos, and just hearing little things here and there, you know, bickerings from the people in the crowd and this and that, and it just kind of accumulated, like, what the hell, like,
yeah,
like, I don't think anybody has a right to tell, you know, what you should look like, and I don't know. I just think that kind of stuff people need to keep to themselves, and at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing, like,
right.
I'm a lifer, and yeah, it's just one of those things, and I normally don't like to air out stuff like that on social media, but it was like so much hit me at once. It was just like, okay, I need to say something.
Yeah.
And, you know, to everybody that reached out to me with that situation, like, I, and all the love and support, like, I can't thank everybody enough. Like,
yeah.
I can't describe the good feeling, like, reading all the comments and messages and everything people send me. Like, it's remarkable. Like, I can't thank these people enough. Like, it fueled me even more to, like, okay, I'm going to hit this gym harder. I'm going to hit the ring harder. Like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Right, yeah, I agree. And I was just fantastic that I was able to get you on to talk about that. Like I posted to you, I think the biggest thing, and I'm not necessarily blowing smoke, but I more of throwing shade on the haters per se, is that, you know, at least these guys and gals are having the courage to step in the ring, because that takes a lot. Yes, I'm a podcaster and talk, you know, interview to all these things like this, but, you know, it is a different story getting in front of a live audience. And the few times that I've actually been in the ring, I'm shaking because I'm not used to it. And it takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage. So I want to applaud you and all your brothers in the industry.
It's like one of those things, like, you have to have such a tough skin to be in this business. And sometimes someone gets through and it just sucks.
Yeah. Totally understand. Yeah. And it's just like I said, it just doesn't make sense. And, you know, like you said, it does kind of compound on it. And it's just, there's just so much before it does overflow. And you just got to say something just to kind of check your thinking, basically, you know, hey friends, check my thinking. What do you guys think about this? And that, all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
You just, in this situation, you just got to use it as fuel to make yourself better.
Right. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, okay, so now that we got the maybe the hardest topic, well, what do you have going on currently that maybe all the listeners should keep an eye out for you? Like, what shows do you got coming up? What promotions? And, you know, any kind of other fun stuff?
All right. I'm making my art. Redemption Championship Wrestling debut on March 13th. Got that going on, and then we got CSW on, what was it, 21st?
21st, yeah.
Yeah, we got CSW the 21st, and then we got Primos on the 29th back at your mom's house. And we got IWC coming up, I believe, May 17th.
Somewhere around there.
All right. Well, gosh, that's a great show. And like you said, you're probably one of the most, productive, one of the ones that gets out in the most and a lot of promotions, and everybody should recognize your face. You've got a very memorable face, so, and charismatic personality. So that's great. I implore everybody to get out to at least one or two of the shows that you're on. So, all right. Well, Johnny, I think that might be a great place to wrap it up. But before I do let you go, people wanted to follow up with you and check out even more. Where could they do that? Like on the social media?
I got the Insatiable Johnny Crash on Facebook and Crash Daddy 00 on Instagram. Those are my two main social medias. I need to branch out on Twitter, but I just need to get off my lazy butt and actually make one and do all that stuff.
All right. Well, great. That's fantastic. So everybody follow up on those two accounts. All right. Well, Johnny, I want to thank you, and I do appreciate you for coming on to this episode. And I, of course, will be seeing you in the future.
Totally. And I just like to apologize being kind of, I haven't really done many podcasts, so a little bit nervous, I ain't going to lie.
Oh, no, it's okay. I think you're just fine. All right. Well, like I said, once again, thanks for joining me, and I'll, like I said, be catching up with you in the future.
Yes, sir. It was an honor.
Once again, a big thank you to the Insatiable Johnny Crash for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners and letting them know about his wrestling career, very lengthy wrestling career so far, and it's still ongoing. All right, so let's do a quick week in review of what I experienced this past week in the Wrestling with Altitude area, and that was Rocky Mountain Pro, their rescheduled charged TV tapings that was rescheduled from the inclement weather towards the beginning of the month. They happened at the towards the end of the month. It was a great show. I can't wait to see when everything gets polished and put all together with the intros and outros. And it was kind of nice to see, personally see that they had some commercials, promos shot to play for the audience to kind of set up the matches for the live audience and for the Twitch feed as well. And what do I have in my view for this upcoming week? It is the last Friday of the month, so that means it is time for the Rocky Mountain Pro Experience from the Bierstadt Lagerhaus in Denver, Colorado. Tickets are free, so all they ask you for that is to just turn around that money that you would have spent on a ticket, buy some refreshments, buy some merchandise from the wrestlers, and that would be great. 9 p.m. is the bell time, and I hope to see you all there. And then additionally, just in case if we don't put out an episode before then, next Wednesday, AEW is visiting Denver, most specifically Broomfield, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver, at the First Bank Center. Hope to see a lot of you there. And I'll put this out on the podcast as I already put it out on the Facebook. Want to have a round table discussion for anybody that is attending, any of my friends, whether you're wrestlers or just wrestling fan friends. I'd like to get together maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday sometime and talk about you know, what you got to experience and just review Dynamite for that night as well. And that maybe that might even give you some time to watch it on TV and see how it was on TV versus the live experience. So hit me up if you want to get in on that. Hope to have say about 3 or 4 people, even more. I'm totally up for anything. All right, well, before we get out of here, let's give a shout out to the Trending Topics Network. And if you like this show, you can catch other great shows such on their feed, such as All Beer Inside, Old School at the Movies, the Eurovision Showcase, and Wrestling Cheers. Want to get in contact with this show? WrestlingWithAltitude.com, podcast at WrestlingWithAltitude.com, Facebook, WrestlingWithAltitude, not WrestlingAltitude.com, that's the website, but Facebook is just Facebook.com/WrestlingWithAltitude. On Twitter, the handle is WrestleAltitude. And once again, I always want to thank you all for listening and having fun wrestling with Altitude.